Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Last Full Measure with your host, Ted Hayes and Eric Johnson.
Shalom and welcome. Nice to have all of you here with us today. I'm Eric Johnson here with Ted Hayes for another episode of The Last Full Measure. Ted, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Eric, and I want to give a shout-out to Israel, to Jerusalem. You know, in another couple of weeks or so, May 17th or 15th, United States, the most powerful nation in the world, is going to acknowledge in Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the state of Israel, the only Jewish state in the world, and the returned Israel that was scattered 70 years ago, and May 15th, 1948, Israel was reborn. So I want to say, as the psalmist says in the book of Psalms, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they who pray for Jerusalem shall prosper. So we want to say shalom, shalom in Jerusalem, shalom, shalom in Jerusalem.
Yes, I could not agree with that more. You know, it was interesting in the news, it was 3-4 days ago, there are other nations that are moving to Jerusalem also, that they actually had to have one of the ministries, I'm trying to remember what it is, they had to create a ministry
specifically to deal with the end with that?
To where they can create a whole area for the new embassies and for housing for all the employees in Jerusalem.
Wow.
And it's interesting, you're trying to come up with all these different names, and they're calling it the Trump coordinate.
Wow.
The Trump quarter. That's what they're calling it now. They may come with another name, but right now they're calling it the Trump
quarter.
Quarter, yeah.
Yeah, that's he's like a Cyrus or an Artaxerxes.
Yes.
You know, the Lord has used him. Here's something really interesting in Zechariah 12. He says, the burden of the Lord, 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord from Israel, saith the Lord, which stretch forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Jerusalem and against Judah. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all the people and all the burden of themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And then here's another one. He talks about that he's going to gather all the nations against Jerusalem that he may judge them. And, you know, judgment doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get beaten up and destroyed, but judgment means that you're going to be weighed in the balance and checked out and so forth. And perhaps these Goyim Gentile nations who are recognized, because a lot of them are Christian based anyway, you know, they probably see the hand of the Lord and they recognize if we're going to be blessed and be of the children of Abraham, let's warm up to Jerusalem. Let's bring our nation near to the blessing. God, get ready to get busy on some heads around here.
It's
not funny.
Yes. It's interesting to see what's happening over there. I mean, you had the other day, Benjamin Netanyahu showing, nearly a ton of documents they got out of Iran on their nuclear program. I mean, what an operation for them to get that out of Iran.
Yeah. Mossad,
that's going to be a movie someday.
Mossad can reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
No matter where you are. Don't mess with them cats.
No. They know what they're doing. They get it done too. So
And plus, they got the creator of all the world standing behind them. That's made a promise to Abraham that Israel shall be a nation and Jerusalem is its capital, so that that HaMashiach, the Messiah, can come there. That's what's going on, I believe, anyway.
Well, it's exciting to see what's happening over there, that's for sure. And one of these days, I'm going to get there.
Absolutely.
One of these days.
One way or the other.
So, last week, let's go back to last week's show. We were on the Gettysburg Address.
Yes, sir.
And we discussed some of it. And there's a lot. There's a lot to this.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of want to continue that on this episode of The Last Full Measure. Back to, we were discussing just the first sentence of the first paragraph, but kind of want to now move into the next paragraph on that. What are your thoughts on that whole section of Gettysburg? Was it three sentences long?
Well, here we go. Let me read it. It says, first sentence is, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived, so dedicated, can long endure. I believe that we can look at this situation this way. We are in a new civil war, but I call it a cold civil war. The war that lasts from 1861 to 1865, that was a hot civil war. And quiet as it's kept, the United States of America was born in a cold civil war. And the fact that 47 signers of the Declaration of Independence, of the 56, were slave owners, chattel slave owners. And even though Thomas Jefferson himself was a slave owner, and Benjamin Franklin, who was not but was of the day the leading anti-slavery activist and abolitionist, and John Adams, that crew, they fought tooth and nail over whether they should include in the Declaration of Independence, the first law of the land, the freedom of slaves. And Thomas Jefferson was correct when he was saying that, and he said that it's not our fault that we have slaves. It is the fault of King George that has done this, and as we liberate ourselves from King George, we must also liberate the slaves, because we're claiming that God made us all equal. That means the slaves. And that's what the Southerners or the slave owners said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, this is something that cannot be done this way, and we have our issues with that. It's our culture, our backbone. And they almost did not sign the Declaration of Independence. It was almost not signed. But they got
That's why they call it a miracle.
It was a miracle, yeah, because it shouldn't have been. It would not have happened otherwise. And they decided we'll save the Union first and foremost, and then we will legislate it through our Congress should we win the war, in which they did legislate that slaves could no longer be brought into the United States. But that was a Cold War. And the Cold War finally erupted in 1861, last 1865. Now we're back in the Cold War. So that's where we are today. And also we can see that the Civil War Part 2 as well. And we can also see in the last statement in the Gettysburg Address where he says that that these nations have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And I think that new birth of freedom is yet to come. Or let me put it this way. We're halfway out and halfway in with the birth. And it's painful. Painful. See, so this is what's going on. And remember, he said that this is a proposition. We are stating to King George and to all nations ever before that we believe, according to our constitutional law, that God created all people equal, and we are dedicated to that proposition. So, and the war came to question the proposition. And now Lincoln is saying, if we don't win this thing, and if we do not finish what was started here, then the proposition that we offer King George and the world will be untrue, that God doesn't believe that all men are created equal. In that sense, that certain ones can be slaves and certain other ones can rule them. So here we are. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they say the country has never been divided, folks, since the Civil War. Well, who was it divided between? Black and white people? No. Don't get it twisted. It's not between black and white people. It's really between white people and white people. Who started the Civil War? White people in the beginning of the country.
Yeah.
One group said one thing, the other group said no. We black people had nothing to say because we were the property of the white people, and the white people were fighting over the black people. So here we are again today. And one's the Democratic Party, one's the Republican Party, and they have the country divided, these two parties, political parties.
You know, it's
white people fighting with white people over black people.
Where would we be if the Republicans lost the Civil War?
You know, I don't know, because I'm going to say something that's a little bit controversial here, if you don't mind. Just a thought. They say that the northern Southerners, Virginia and all those areas, were already moving towards what they call the gradual manumission, which, as I look back on, I think that might have been better for us, a gradual manumission. Thomas Jefferson talked about this. He said, you know, wait a minute, if we set them free right now, these people have been slaves for generations, born in slavery, died in slavery. If we let them go, how would they survive? So we must come up with a way where we educate them, and as we educate, they get their freedom. And so they were moving in that direction, and there were the radical Republicans, that is, they wanted freedom now, and they pushed for freedom now. And that caused a great kaboom, and these 740,000 young, innocent white boys and men who had nothing to do with this issue at all, they did not write the Declaration of Independence, but yet they had to pay the heavy burden, the heavy price.
Hmm.
But you know something, y'all?
That is an interesting thought.
Yeah, I know it sounds dour, kind of, you know, depressing, but when you think about it, as my white brothers and sisters now, listen, this is a message to you from this slave, from this former slave here, descendants of chattel slaves. I'm saying to you that even though you had that fight with each other, you demonstrated something the world has never seen. One race of people fighting with itself, killing each other, murdering one another brutally over another race of people. What a legacy. That says that the American conscience is a conscience of honesty. It's a conscience of feeling. I want to do the right thing. I know I'm not doing right now, but I want to do right, so help me God. And that's why I say to you, white brothers and sisters, stop running around here feeling bad because you're white. Get your chin up off of your chest, shoulder back, head up in pride. Not vain pride and ego pride, tripping pride. I'm talking about a pride in that you've done something wonderful and noble in human history. And don't let nobody take that from you.
Hmm.
They call you racist and whatever all they want, but you've done something wonderful in this world.
Is it possible that those who are white calling us racist are actually maybe feeling guilty?
Yes, they are. And I find this even with Jewish people, our Jewish brothers and sisters. There are those who have sided with the Palestinian cause. There are those who denounce Israel. There are those who denounce Jews. And they carry on, and they don't know who they are. They don't know their self-worth. They don't know their calling. If they knew these things, they would be better equipped to judge what is right and what is wrong and how to behave themselves appropriately to what they judge that is right and that is wrong. And that's what I'm hoping to do, Eric. I'm hoping, and then this is what you and I are working on with this whole idea of our show here, our broadcast of last full measure, that this is what we want them to understand, that these white boys and men gave the last full measure. And Lincoln said, therefore, because they gave that full measure, it is up to us, the living, to ensure that their deaths, their suffering is not in vain. Therefore, let's finish the issue, which we have not done. That's why we have all this racial turmoil continuing in this country over petty, stupid little things and nothing of any real significance.
Mm. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. Wow, that's powerful.
And so therefore, brothers and sisters, therefore, it is questionable whether these young boys are going to be dead in vain. It's on us. Oh, no, we didn't start the problem. Absolutely not. We're innocent. We're not guilty for all the stuff that went down. But we have inherited the responsibility to finish the business over which they gave their lives. That's our job. And if they could give the full measure, what's up with us?
You know, it's when you think about the last full measure, those who bled and died.
Yes. And those who were willing. Those who were willing to bleed and died.
But there's a lot more of that, the wives and the daughters and the sons.
Yes, the families.
And the parents and the mothers. Yeah, so it's not just these 740,000. You times that by three or four, five, six, and you've got families who've lost a loved one. So
yes.
It's a big deal.
And many more died later, years later, as a consequence of their wounds. Many of those men walked around for the rest of their lives without a leg or two, an arm.
It is so sad.
And the psychological shock that these guys saw when their buddies, cousins, were dying beside them, and they were killing their cousins across the battlefield. Americans speaking English.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It's so sad that our media today will not acknowledge this at all, that they
have an agenda to
keep this from getting out.
And I don't blame them. I would do everything I could, too, to keep it hush-hush, especially if I'm a socialist. I don't want this stuff to get – and especially if I'm a Democrat, I don't want this stuff to be gotten out. So, therefore, I don't blame those guys. The scorpions are going to be the scorpions anyway, right? The ones that really have the responsibility for why this is not known throughout the country from kindergarten to university is the Republicans, the Republican Party. They are the ones who are responsible because – Benjamin Franklin said, "We have given you a republic according to the Constitution, and if you can keep it." And the balance of keeping it was what they were going to do about the greatest imperfection in the nation for which they were charged to fix, and that was chattel slavery. And Benjamin them knew that if you don't fix this thing, we're going to lose republic. So therefore, it's up to the Republicans, especially since they were born in 1854 and 1856, specifically to end slavery and to look after the freed slave for generations to come. And they wrote the 13th, the 14th, and 15th Amendment. They were saying, we will be the guardians of the republic. And these guys today, I don't think they're Republicans. I don't know what they are. Folks, I have a survey if you want to take it. The survey is called the Republican Survey. Am I a conservative or am I Republican? What's the difference if there is a difference? Am I a liberal or am I Republican? What's the difference if there is a difference? And I would say to you, folks, Eric, I would say to you at least 95, and this is no offense to anybody. Please don't take it wrong if this touches your toes. I would say 95 to 98% of the Americans in this country who call themselves Republicans do not have a clue as to what it actually means and what their purpose is in this country. This is why we're confused.
You have this test that people can take. So
yes, I do.
That needs to get up on the website then so people can take a look at it and go, oh, wow, or hey, there we go.
If they want to, you guys, you could go to tedhaze.us, and when I get off the phone, off the broadcast here, I'll put it prominent on my front page of the website where you can go take the test very easily. And it's not a scientific test. It's just makes you think, am I a Republican or am I a Democrat or am I a conservative or am I a liberal or am I an American? What is all of this? And what does my citizenship mean?
Where does this all come down to in real time? Bringing all of this, the Gettysburg Address, the last full measure, bring it fast forward to today.
You know, folks, right now, over here in Los Angeles, which is the capital of homelessness of the United States and comparatively the world, the whole world right now is starting to focus in on the Los Angeles homeless crisis. It's really horrific. The fact of the matter is, unfortunately, that the demographics is that in L.A. County, the chattel slave descendants, black citizens, are only 8% of the county population, yet in homelessness, the black citizens are over 40% of the homeless population, 40%. In the city of L.A. itself, folks, the black citizens are, the chattel slave descendants are 9% of the homeless. But of the citywide, of the 9% of the citywide population, but they are 40% of the city of the homeless population. And on Skid Row, the very black hole vortex, the ground zero of American homelessness, living on the sidewalks down there, 90% are black men, followed by black women and other ethno-racial groups and so forth. Now, what does that trigger, folks? That triggers the federal government, because the chattel slave people are still under the jurisdiction, particularly of the White House and the United States Pentagon. And out here in L.A., there's a gentleman out here, I won't give his name right now, but he is an architect, and he has, like, land in the Santa Monica Mountains that the county of L.A. is trying to take away from him. This man has been a benevolent man all of his life, and in the past couple of years, he's been working in the so-called black neighborhoods, helping gangs and so forth and so on. Recently, he met me, we resonated, and we're talking about bringing and creating dome villages and transitional homeless programs there on the property, and so the county wants to crush him. But what we're realizing now is that the county is exercising, one, local codes against a federal jurisdiction, because his land comes under federal jurisdiction as far as in the environment goes, and it comes under the 14th Amendment. Why? Because he is reaching out to the homeless population, 30% or 40% of whom are black citizens. Hence, the 14th Amendment is now triggered, and the Civil Rights Act of 1866. Hence, if we can fix this, that begins to give homage and respect back to those 740,000 innocent young white boys and men, plus Abraham Lincoln and the 38,000 blacks who died in the Civil War. You follow what I'm saying here? This is coming to us more and more even today. We had a meeting about this, and even the guy, the property owner dude who we're working with, he's a grumpy, grouchy kind of a very brilliant guy, right? And cusses a lot and stuff, right? And everybody around him has faith in God and the Lord and so forth, right? And we got some liberal guys who believe in the universe and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, they believe in the higher power. The point is, when we talk about God, he goes, ah, rah, rah. Today, I figured when we went into the meeting, he's going to be all dour because he's in court and all kind of heavy stuff coming down, and the L.A. Times is all over this thing, right? And he said, boy, I tell you something, that God of yours, he said, he must like me. I found something here today. We're going to win this thing. And he was so up, boy.
Wow.
It's interesting to watch.
I'm looking at you know, what you were saying about L.A. and people living on the streets, and I went to Google Earth.
Uh-huh. Oh boy!
Put in Skid Row. I mean, I zoomed down to L.A. and then I put in Skid Row.
Yeah.
And I zoomed in, and I'm not kidding, folks. You look at the sidewalks, and there are blue tarps, yellow tarps, mainly blue, on a lot of the sidewalks. People are living.
That was last year, right, Eric?
This was a year ago. This image was taken from a year ago.
It's worse
so
now.
So I can only imagine it's worse. But just go to Google Earth. I mean, Google it. Get down to Los Angeles and put in the search Skid Row. It'll take you right to it, and you'll see the tarps. You'll see it's happening. It's real. It's not a joke. And it needs to be addressed. And, Ted, I have to applaud you, man. You've been going at this for, what, 30 years?
Yeah, this is thank God for his mercy, 33 years now I've been at this. On May the 10th, next week, is the 33rd anniversary of the bulldozing of Justiceville. And folks, you know, I don't know if you know the story, but back in 1985, I became homeless on purpose, willfully, and went to stay on the streets of downtown L.A. I thought I'd be there maybe 3-4 weeks. Ended up spending 8 years on the sidewalks and learning what all of this is about and how to resolve it. And the Lord has shown me. He has sent me. He actually sent me. I used to didn't believe that, or I didn't want to believe it because I was thinking, I'm ego tripping and religious tripping. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, boy, I brought you to this place. I made you who you are, and you need to start telling people that I sent you, because if you don't tell people I sent you, they're going to think you're smart, and you're not smart. Everything you're getting comes from me. And you have to let them know I'm behind this, and I can do the work, not you. And if you do that, Teddy told me, I'll open up doors, because I have to back up what you said about me that I sent you. And I went, wow. He says, learn a lesson from my son Jesus. Wow, yes, sir. And you know something, you guys? Ever since I've been admitting to that, incredible things have been. His hand is true. His word is true. I kid you not. And I'm not anybody special, or I don't. You know, I'm just a sinner dude, man, that just happens to believe. And that's one of the things, folks, I used to fuss about. But God, look at me. I'm a mess. I'm all messed up. He says, boy, you better get on about your business, do about my business. And I've learned to overcome that. And you're going to have to learn to do the same thing. You know, at some point, if you know, and you compare what you know to what is around you, and you check the scriptures, at some point, you're going to have to start saying, the Lord sent me. I was born at this time for this season.
Wow. Wow.
He says, try me, right? You know, every time he does a miracle, you notice that.
Try me and see.
Try me and see. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk about it. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Give me a reason why I shouldn't tear y'all's heads off out there. Tell me why I shouldn't bring judgment upon you. Talk to me. You got a helper. His name is, he's your advocate, Jesus. He'll talk with me, too.
We're stupid. We need Jesus. We're stupid. We need Jesus.
That's why, yes. I gave you a brain. I gave you my mind, the mind of Christ, to reason, to think. You have the authority. So anyway, I digress. The point is, folks, is that we, American United States citizens, we owe it to God. We owe it to our founding fathers. We owe it to them boys who died black and white in the Civil War. We owe it to Abraham Lincoln to not let none of them be dead in vain. But if we allow for this homelessness to go on, if we allow the illegal alien invasion coming in the name of civil rights to destroy the vote of the people for whom the boys died, etc., then you're going to lose the republic, as Benjamin Franklin admonished us about. Let us do this. This is what we're doing here in Los Angeles. You can do the same right there in Phoenix. And tell more people about the last four measure. That's a big help, huge help. Because what Eric and I are talking about here, you don't hear this stuff around. And if you guys help by getting that word out there, people are going to start going, man, let me go look that stuff up and see what's going on.
Well, we're getting down to the last minute of our broadcast here. And Ted, is there anything that you want to mention that before we go and drop out, as far as what you're up to, what you're doing? I know you're working with that one gentleman,
Wayne, and a bunch of other folks out here in L.A., political people, not that political, I mean people who are liberal, people who are conservative. We're bringing everybody together in this town. We're bringing them together to work on a human issue. You got to remember something, people. The last public statement Jesus made, that Yeshua made, he said, and as much as you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. And so with that, go to www.the740,000.com. That's the website, the 740,000.com, and learn.
Well, we'd like to thank all of you for joining us, and a big shout-out to Dark Sky Radio for really helping us get this together. We'll see you all next week, and shalom in Jerusalem.
Shalom in Jerusalem.
Well, that concludes tonight's broadcast of The Last Full Measure. Make sure you tune back in next Tuesday night to hear the latest from Eric and Ted as they discuss the issues that face a divided America.
Of the Lord, he is casting out the vintage.